Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the show, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m., the replay here on the Big X at 3. If you can't catch us live or the replay, we're available as a podcast. You can find us on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. And no matter how you join us each day, we are so glad you're with us, and we welcome you into our Tuesday program. And, of course, we are a day away from more IU basketball. Very interesting road game, and I think that's the case anytime Indiana or really any Big Ten team goes on the road. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting. And this Rutgers team that IU will face on Wednesday night on the road has proven its worth so far this season, and using this season really as a mission to maybe show that no longer will they be a bottom dweller in the Big Ten Conference. They kind of had a signature win a few weeks ago to open the new year with Penn State, a win at home for Rutgers over a Penn State team that's pretty good. And I saw a tweet from Rutgers basketball, and I'll have to look this up. I don't know what the capacity of the rack is, but I saw that they're sold out for Wednesday night's game against Indiana, and I think that's something that's happened a few times so far in Big Ten play for this team. So a tough place to play on the road, better Rutgers team than normal. Heck, Indiana has struggled with Rutgers even when they weren't one of the better teams, or I don't want to say better teams in the conference, but one of the more reasonably competitive teams in the conference. So you can expect Wednesday to be an interesting game, probably a very close and competitive game, and I would say overall a tough one for Indiana. And again, if they can get that one, three straight in the Big Ten Conference, a good sign for this Indiana team where there still are a lot of question marks about their play, even coming off of a week where they just won two conference games. Of course, both of those games coming at home. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, as always, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at the IU-Rutgers game. A couple news and notes from last night's Archie Miller Coaches Radio Show, which is aired right here on the Big X each week, that we'll mention as well. Also, a couple high school notes that we will mention as well here in our Zaxby's headlines coming up in just a few moments. Later in the program today, it's Tuesday, so we always have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg is lots of fun to catch up with. We'll talk IU basketball with Greg. We'll talk a little bit about the national championship game last night in college football. LSU, the national champion, the new king of college football following this 2019-2020 season. And of course, now all the focus with college football completely behind us is on college basketball and conference play. And of course, not far away. I know it seems like it, but not far away from postseason basketball. It'll be here before you know it, a couple months. And we'll be talking about March Madness, which always is one of the highlights of the year, especially here in our part of the country, with not only Indiana hopefully in the mix, but Louisville, Kentucky, just a great area for college basketball. Really just a great area for basketball in general. We'll talk about some of that with Greg when he joins us today, presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the show, always on Tuesdays, Mike Pegram is with us. Mike will help us get ready for the IU-Rutgers matchup. We'll take a look at this Indiana schedule moving forward here over the next week or so, and talk about where this Indiana team is at coming out of a two-week Let me rephrase that. Coming out of a two-win week last week, of course, both of those games at home for Indiana. Now they'll go on the road for a few games, and we'll talk about that transition with Mike Pegram when he joins us a little bit later in the program today in Segment 3. That is the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to get questions, comments from you. You can tweet them to me. You can send them in on our show's Facebook page. A number of different ways to communicate with us. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can send me a tweet, your thoughts on the Hoosiers, your thoughts on the Rutgers game, a question for Greg Doyle, a question for Mike Pegram later in the show. You can tweet those in right now. Also on Facebook, our Facebook page, just search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison in Facebook. You can like the page. You can get updates on the show, podcast links there as well, show announcements, and there's a way you can leave us a message as well. And again, perhaps your question or comment will get read on the air today. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Number of things to get to. I mentioned IU's next game at Rutgers, officially sold out as of yesterday per Rutgers Athletics and a tweet that they put out yesterday afternoon. And again, it just underscores what life is like in the Big Ten Conference, especially on the road. I think, is it four or five teams have went on the road and won across all of the Big Ten games that have been played so far here to the middle of this month of January. And again, it's not the size of Assembly Hall. I'd have to look up the capacity, but nonetheless, it's an interesting place to play. It's an unfamiliar place to play, like many of the other Big Ten facilities may be for some of these guys and coaches. And because of its smaller nature, a packed house or a rowdy house obviously makes it a tough road environment. And so many places across the Big Ten, you can talk about what the road environment looks like and the uniqueness of some of the facilities and the setup of some of those facilities as well, and Rutgers is no different, especially with a sold-out crowd that's loud and proud behind a team that really has been in the cellar of the Big Ten Conference since they arrived, but coming out of that, it seems like this season. So an interesting game on Wednesday night. Of course, we'll have the broadcast with Don Fisher right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also on the Big X, last night we had the Archie Miller Coaches Show. It airs basically every Monday night. There's a couple exceptions to that throughout the season when it's bumped to another night because of an IU game or because of another commitment. But we carry it always here on the station, and it's an opportunity to for about an hour. I know there's always a player guest as well, but for about an hour, Don Fisher, Archie Miller on the mics, lots of questions to Archie Miller, things maybe that you've been wondering as you watch the games and things maybe that are covered a little bit more in depth than what they are in press conferences after the game. But he really, you know, discussed a lot of topics last night, Trace Jackson Davis and his struggles in the Ohio State game, how he was double-teamed and how they threw everything at him. He talks about Indiana's scoring droughts at times. Lots of topics covered. He did mention last night that, and I'm always curious about the gold jersey, that the top, I don't know what the point system, plus, minus, whatever it might be, who's got that jersey each week in practice. And it seems like leading up to the season, there's not as much news out there. There's not as much to talk about. So that always seems to make it out, whether Indiana tweets it out, whether Archie Miller talks about it. You always kind of know who early is at least earning that gold jersey in practice. But I'm always curious, once the season begins, with how Indiana's playing, who some of the top performers are in the box score, or maybe it's the leadership category. I'm always curious who's got the jersey in practice during the season, and we don't always hear. So it was interesting last night that Miller mentioned that Joey Brunk currently has possession of the gold jersey as Indiana's top practice player, and he had some good comments that followed that on Joey Brunk as well. and also just a number of other things covered in the show last night with Archie Miller that you can catch each week here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, a few high school basketball notes. Obviously, the big game Friday night is Floyd Central and Jeffersonville. It should be a great one, and it's another game here in the area that especially – it's a rivalry game. It's a conference game, but – the last number of years, it has been a really good regular season game, and the crowds for this game have been tremendous. In fact, I'm not so sure that it may not be a sellout when those teams hook up this weekend. So, again, if you're planning to go to that game, you might want to contact your respective school and line up tickets. But should be a great one. I think Floyd can challenge Jeffersonville. And will we see Jeffersonville step up maybe with a little bit more energy than what they had against New Albany and a little bit more success after they were challenged so closely into overtime against New Albany, a team that they were obviously the favorite to beat? One other high school note, I read this in Josh Cook's story in the News and Tribune each week kind of summarizing the high school basketball season. How about this? Former IU player, former Jeffersonville standout Sharon Wilkerson, he has the Madison team off to its best start in 20 years. They were victors 57-55 at Scottsburg on Friday. They were also a winner 94-69 over Charlestown on Saturday night. The Cubs are now 10-2. Best start for Madison since the 1998-99 season. And again, New Albany has Madison coming up on Friday night as well, which could be maybe a more interesting game than what that typically is in the season, with Madison 10-2 and obviously playing a lot better. But good to see former Hoosier and former Red Devil Sharon Wilkerson, who was an assistant at Jeffersonville in previous years. Good to see him get the opportunity to lead his own high school basketball team. Madison has had lots of coaches in and out of that program over the last number of years. So hopefully Wilkerson can use this success in season number one to find some stability for the Madison program moving forward. They have really been a team recently, in games where not always competitive against the Jeffs, the New Albanys, the Floyd Centrals, not really a factor in the Hoosier Hills Conference. A smaller school, probably a pretty tough makeup overall for them in that situation. But to get a committed coach in there that's going to build it for a number of years, perhaps that can change. But Sharon has Madison playing some really good basketball. One other thing I wanted to mention as well, how about Providence? They continue to win very close games. I mentioned yesterday that Zach Johnson was the star over the weekend for Providence as they edged Clarksville for the second time, not only this season, but since the New Year holiday. It was 46-44 this time around. He had about a 15-footer at the buzzer to win it. Third on a last-second shot, third game, third win on a last-second shot by Providence. They also had another game where they hit a couple free throws with like a second or less left on the clock. And again, I saw in the News and Tribune story, Providence now 6-0 in games decided by 4 points or less. So pretty interesting there. Providence has just been able so far to find a way, whether it's a last-second shot, whether it's some key free throws at the end of the game, no matter what it is in close games, they've just found a way to win, and that is a big, big feather in the cap of first-year Providence coach Ryan Miller, who has the Pioneers playing some pretty good basketball as well. And some big test coming up for this Providence team. They've got Jeff and Silver Creek and New Albany and Christian Academy and others ahead. They're really going to face the meat of their schedule coming up in the next few weeks, but they've won some important games in very close scenarios so far as Providence. That's a look at the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. The headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's. Zaxby's is the home of the Southern TLC Filet Sandwich, a buttermilk marinated breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayo as well at Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday night, it also replays Friday before our high school basketball coverage. We have the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show. It's brought to you each week by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. We preview the big games. We talk with coaches. Sometimes we also talk with players. It's a perfect hour-long program to get you set for what's ahead in the week of high school basketball here in Clark and Floyd counties. We cover so much jam-packed into 1 hour. And again, Frank H. Monroe, been serving Southern Indiana since 1953 with experienced, dependable, reliable sales service and installation to all of Southern Indiana. They bring you the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show each Thursday and the replay on Fridays here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. Greg Doyle joins the program next. IU basketball is where we'll start. National championship game last night as well. And a lot more coming up with Greg after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back to this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. And Coffee Crossing would like to invite everyone to their newest location. It's in downtown New Albany. They turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. And Coffee Crossing is the sponsor of Greg Doyle each Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. Greg, let's start with the national championship in football last night. Very good game for most of the game. LSU, the king of college football after this season.
Yeah, and it was good to see Clemson lose just because I didn't want to hear Dabo Swinney talk about how poor us and nobody thought we could do it, and here we are. I mean, I just didn't want to hear that. So it was fun to watch someone else win. But, you know, there's a prisoner of the moment disease in society, and I'm afflicted with it a lot. But I have to believe that even 30, 40 years from now, there's going to be like a Mount Rushmore of great individual performances in the playoffs, college football playoffs. And right now, Joe Burrow is George Washington. He's the first president on that wall. 40 years from now, maybe someone will do better, but he'll be on that mount. What he's done these last two games is Mount Rushmore stuff. You just can't. I mean, you almost can't do better.
Yeah, definitely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Also, I saw, and I meant to mention this yesterday, Zach Osterman of the Star retweeted this. Futures picks for national champion next year. In college football, it had your normal suspects on the list with odds. And way down the list, for the first time I can ever remember seeing, looking at something like that, Indiana was on there way, way, way down the list with some long shot odds to win the national championship next year.
Well, that's fabulous. I wonder, do you have any idea, when you say way down the list, how many teams were ahead of would you guess?
Oh, it was a tweet, so it was all inside of one tweet. I don't know. They were way down there on this list. I'll see if I can pull it up as we're talking. But just as you scroll down through teams, you've got your long list of usual suspects. You don't expect to see Indiana anywhere on that list. Here it is: Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, both 8-1, Florida, Auburn, Notre Dame. And I'm going to keep going way down. Indiana way at the bottom. So, but on the list. So maybe 20 something teams ahead of them. Maybe.
Yeah, even on the list, something else because they wouldn't. I mean, obviously, you don't put Indiana on the list ever because it's just never going to happen. So why bother? You don't put me on the list. I'm not winning the national championship either, so I'm not on the list. But for Indiana to be on the list at all, that's pretty cool.
And by the way, Florida State, Miami, Nebraska, TCU, Central Florida, and I believe that would be Virginia Tech and Indiana, both listed on the 300-1 line.
How about that company, though? How about that's – yeah, that's how far some of those schools have fallen, to the 300-1. But how about IU football being considered an equal betting line with Nebraska and Florida State and Miami? That is insanity.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I know you had a busy weekend. You were at Indiana for the Ohio State game. You also took in Purdue. And I want to not only talk Indiana, Purdue, I want to also talk Butler with you. a little bit today as well. But let's start with the Indiana game on Saturday. A big win for Indiana, a game they really needed at home, a game where they played a lot better. I think equally important as getting the win on the scoreboard in the win column is the way that Indiana bounced back from a win against Northwestern earlier in the week. It just was a win where they played well, did not play well. It was a win where Archie Miller clearly was making some statements to players and their minutes and the way they were used in that game. But Indiana bounced back in multiple ways to record a big one on Saturday, even though Ohio State has been on a little bit of a slide.
Yeah, but that's a win that'll matter for the resume in March, because the question, you know, with this team is, are they going to get in or not? And beating Ohio State helps a whole lot. It's hard to figure out who Indiana is. It's hard to figure out who Purdue is. Both teams are capable. I mean, IU beat Florida State earlier this year, and you'd think, okay, they got something. And then they spend the next several games looking like they don't have anything. And then they beat Ohio State thoroughly, and you think, okay, they got something. And now we've got to see, how do you handle prosperity? Do you keep winning, or do you do what Purdue does and lose by 30 to Illinois? I mean, we'll have to see.
Greg, this Indiana team has been all over the place so far this season, and even some of the key players that I think, you know, we expect and expected even before the year began to lead this team have not always been leaders. And I guess I'm talking squarely about Devontae Green, but there are other players that somewhat fit that description as well for one reason or another. Indiana moving forward in the Big Ten, for example, the Wednesday night game coming up here tomorrow at Rutgers, who is a different Rutgers team and has been kind of taking some steps forward in recent seasons, but really has taken some steps forward this year. How confident can you ever really be as an Indiana fan in this team with Devontae Green and his performances that are just so, some nights tremendous, other nights non-existent, so inconsistent as a guy that's thought of as one of the main scoring threats on this team?
Yeah, and he is what he is. This is not a matter of, well, maybe someday he'll become more consistent. There is no someday. I mean, he's a senior. This is what he is. It's what he does. When he's good, and he was good against Florida State, they're really good when he's really good. And when he's really bad, and he was against Northwestern, he was so bad he didn't play the last 10 minutes. And that's kind of a damning statement when your best perimeter player, your senior, you don't trust him on the court in the last 10 minutes. That's kind of who he is. You just don't know. You don't know what you're going to get. The thing they've got to work on is, and Archie's got to he's got to get more from his team in this regard, is Trace Jackson Davis needs to be shooting the ball 15 times a game. And he's not lately, and that's a problem. They beat Ohio State without him getting a lot of touches and a lot of shots, but that's fool's goal. They need to go, the offense needs to go through him.
Yeah, in the Ohio State game, he was often double-teamed. Ohio State threw a lot of different options at him. I thought defensively he had been so consistent in what he had done in scoring and even rebounding so far this season, whether it was the early games in November against lower opponents or even Big Ten games so far this season. Really, Saturday was the first, and he still contributed. I mean, he had, I think, 6 points and 3 or 4 rebounds, which is not too shabby, but Saturday really was the first game where he hasn't been the Trace that already, just a handful of games into the new year, we've come to expect to see every night, basically.
Yeah, and he's a Mr. Basketball guy, and speaking of which, I'm going to the Lawrence Central game tonight. They're playing Brebeuf, and Lawrence Central has two Mr. Basketball candidates, Nigel Pack and DeAndre Davis, and I'm wondering, because you follow high school basketball closer than I do, who's going to win this year? I mean, I know IU's got two signees, Leo and the kid from Culver, but is there a front runner right now, or is it wide open? How do you rank them right now?
I got the feeling coming into the year that both Leo and Galloway were probably neck and neck for the award. Of course, Galloway missed, 2.5 weeks or so because of a wrist injury, but is back now and actually returned against Lawrence Central a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. But I also saw this morning those two guys you're going to see tonight, Davis and Pack, both were on a very short list of nominees, at least, for the McDonald's game. I'm not sure that either can get there for the McDonald's All-American Game Award. There were a couple Lyle Lemire players, and I'm not sure that Leal or Galloway were on the nominee lists of players from our state in Indiana for that game. So those guys.
Yeah, I mean, you told me something. You said something I knew. I knew Leal and Galloway were the front runners this season. I knew that. But we're
two-thirds of the way through, and I just don't feel like they are anymore. I feel like Pack and Davis are – I feel like there's four of them now, and maybe Perkins, I think it's Lawrence North. It's just not – it seemed like it was between – I used to have Mr. Basketball. The question is which one's going to be. And now I'm kind of wondering if Lawrence Central is going to have Mr. Basketball. The question is which one's going to be.
If a deep run in the state tournament, which I think is maybe – you know, I want to say it's expected for Lawrence Central, but then I remember that they're in the same sectional with Lawrence North, who beat them this season. But – a deep run in the state tournament, I think, has to happen, and some big performances for one of those guys if they're going to take it away from Leland or Galloway. I think so many voters in the state, because of the IU deal and because those names of Leland and Galloway have been so promoted for so many years, I still believe they'll be one of those two will be hard to beat.
Yeah, you're right about that. What we think going in is what happened to the Heisman Trophy so many years is what you think going into the year matters almost as much as what happens on the field. Now, Joe Burrow changed that this year, but you know, you start in first place and it's hard to be taken down. So that might be the case. We will see. I would love to see all of them, the Bankers Life Fieldhouse, some say perform later this year.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star with us. Let's move from Indiana to Purdue for just a moment. You mentioned that you were at their game, obviously a big win over Michigan State on Sunday, number 8 Michigan State, that is. And I'm sure that Purdue fans say the same about Indiana, but I really have trouble figuring out this Purdue team, where they're going to fall, what chances they have in the Big Ten Conference, and where to kind of put them within the hierarchy of the Big Ten as we enter the 2020 portion of the schedule. They've had some really good wins, what, like 30-point wins over Michigan State and Virginia at home. Then, as you mentioned, that Illinois game specifically, 63-37 was the final score in that loss for Purdue at Illinois. I struggle to know at this point what type of team Purdue is going to be down the stretch the rest of the way. What is the Greg Doyle prediction?
I have no idea. They're as big a mystery as IU is, and they've got that home and away split like it used to be with IU. Over the last several years, it was, can they win on the road? If they can't win the road, they're not getting the tournament. That's kind of what Purdue is right now. They need to beat somebody on the road. And they had kind of a semi-breakthrough against Michigan at Michigan over the weekend. Before the weekend, they didn't win the game. But I think it went overtime, and they were very competitive. It was the best they've ever looked on the road. They didn't win, but Trevion Williams goes for 36 and 20. And then he goes and gets 17 and 7 or 8 against Michigan State. They've got really great on the interior. So Purdue has something. They clearly have something, but they're up against the wall. They've already got 7 losses. They can't afford to lose a whole lot more. So they've got a harder road to the tournament than IU might have. It's a toss-up, I guess. And they're going to play each other. They'll probably work themselves out that way.
Greg, since we're talking college hoops in Indiana, I know Butler probably don't talk about as much because they're not in the Big Ten, but a program in our state this year that – maybe there were some question marks surrounding it in the preseason, I think, where they were projected to be fairly far down the pack in the Big East preseason stuff. But Butler under Coach Jordan, what a year they've had. And I saw a story in the Star, and I saw you add a little tweet when you put it out. I think Coach Jordan right now has to be considered maybe even a front runner for Coach of the Year with the type of performances and type of season that Butler has been able to put together so far.
I mean, he has to be at midseason, which is about where we are right now. He's got to be the front runner. He's got to be. By definition, if you finish 6th or 7th in your conference, and you look on like January 14th, and you're number 5 in the country, and you're doing it, you know, with Kamar Baldwin might play in the NBA someday, maybe. I doubt it. I mean, they're beating good teams. They're not a fluke of schedule. They've got a tough schedule. They're really good, and it's kind of, if you watch it, I've watched them a lot, and it's kind of even hard to figure out why. I mean, they play really hard. They play good defense, and they're very unselfish. Those are all great attributes. Those are great attributes of a team that's going to finish 23rd in the country. They're not great attributes of a top 5 team. They don't have star power. The team is the star, and it's a brilliant coaching job by LaValle Jordan. Until this year, both fans really didn't know what they had in Jordan, and I'll be honest, I didn't know what they had in Jordan. I wasn't down on him. I just, in 2 years, he hadn't proven to me yet he was the guy. But this year, it's kind of come out and value football. Like, okay, we've answered that question, haven't we?
talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This segment brought to you by Coffee Crossing, who just opened their fifth location in downtown New Albany. Greg, I love it. You were at Indiana Saturday, Purdue on Sunday. You obviously have lots of things and opportunities, different sporting events and storylines you want to cover, but you're making time to get out to a high school basketball game, I think you said, tonight to see Lawrence Central.
Yeah, Lawrence Central tonight and Butler Seton Hall tomorrow night. So that'll be five games in 5 days. It was IU Saturday, Purdue Sunday, Pacers last night, LC tonight, and Butler tomorrow night. That'll be five in 5 days at five different gyms and three different levels, obviously, high school, college, and pro. And every game is going to get its own story from me. But then in Sunday's paper, I'm going to write a five games in 5 days, five gyms. I did this 2 years ago, too, where I just have I go a little bit deeper than the game itself, and I find something there that speaks to me about Indiana and basketball and just the heart of our state. And that'll be in Sunday's paper. And it's my favorite. You know, I need to do this every year because I really love finding stuff. Like, I'm not writing about a player. I'm writing about this fan or the IU game. I wrote about the kid that pushed the mop before the game. He has a story. Purdue game, I wrote about the guy that sung the national anthem. He has a story. Last night, I mean, there's always a story of these games beyond the scoreboard, and I love that.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays. Can't wait to see your work. And, Greg, as always, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, Matt, thanks. Bye.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. They would like to invite everyone to their newest location in downtown New Albany. They turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg does bring up a good point. Obviously, we really don't have a local in the race this year, but the Mr. Basketball race, I know a lot of people from an IU perspective just assume and follow that Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, kind of the two front runners for that award. But as we approach the midseason, as we turn that corner into the final month and a half, is really what we have left of the high school season. Interesting to really think and break down who is the front runner for the Mr. Basketball Award. And is it still, if you look at the stats and the performances so far, even some of the success of the teams, is it still Galloway or Leal? Or could a Davis or a Pack or someone else jump in there? I still think, as I said, it'll be hard to beat Galloway or Leal when it's all said and done. But interesting point that there are some other players emerging in this senior class that have had some really good senior seasons as well. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins the program. We will talk IU, Ohio State, a little more recap there. We'll turn the corner and preview Rutgers and talk about Big Ten Conference games on the road and a lot more coming your way. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us. The Pegs.com website, a great resource for all things IU basketball, IU football, really all of IU athletics. And Mike is kind enough to join us Tuesdays. And Mike, welcome into the program. Indiana in a interesting stretch right now because after some key games at home, some victories last week that really boost things moving forward, this Indiana team is going to go on the road this week, and it's going to get started in a very interesting way at Rutgers on Wednesday night. It's a much-improved Rutgers team, and it's a sold-out crowd for that game, we understand, on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I believe Indiana lost their last season. And the road has been really awful for Indiana in the two games that they've played, you know, the Wisconsin game and the even Maryland, they just weren't competitive and now they're one. So this is a chance for them to redeem themselves a little bit. But the past does not show that they're going to do well.
Mike, let's talk a little bit more about the Rutgers team that Indiana will face coming up tomorrow night, a game that we'll obviously carry live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Rutgers has had some big success this year, you could say, as a team. They've been really good at home. and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this Rutgers team as a whole and also some of the matchups and perhaps the problems they pose specifically for some players on this Indiana team.
Well, they're outstanding defensively. I think they're ranked 13th in the country right now in defensive efficiency. And especially, I think opposing teams are only shooting 43% on the year against them. And so that's what Steve Peichel brought to them, the kind of emphasis on defense over all other priorities. And it's taken a few years, but now it's really taken hold, and they're starting to win a lot of games in the out of conference as well as in the Big Ten, and really have a postseason, postseason aspirations right now. They are missing their second leading scorer. Geno Baker is out with an injury. It's been out just for a game or two, but Geo Baker, I should say, he's averaging, I think, around 11.5 points a game. So he's played well against Indiana in the past. So that, you know, his sitting out today will make it life a little bit easier for Indiana. But again, the Hoosiers were a favorite last year and couldn't go in and get the victory.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram with us here on the program. You know, Rutgers has not had a winning record since the 25-26 season. I've talked about this the other day, but it's been, was it the 90s until since their last NCAA tournament appearance? And really, Mike, since they've joined the Big Ten Conference, I know that Indiana fans probably say, wait a minute, you know, we'd lost at Rutgers a year ago. It's not been necessarily an easy opponent, especially there for Indiana to play. But generally, since they've entered the Big Ten Conference, they really have been at the very bottom of the conference or near the bottom of the conference. It sure seems this year with that Penn State win at home that they recorded a few weeks ago, also a non-conference game, and this was a big win up east against Seton Hall, which came at Rutgers as well. It really seems like this is a Rutgers team that, as you mentioned, on a different course this year, has legitimate postseason aspirations, which makes this game, coming off of two home games and two victories, a very interesting challenge for Indiana, obviously on the road. We mentioned it's sold out. This is a Rutgers team that's good and a team that has played extremely well at home.
Yeah, I think it was just a matter of time. It's a huge university. It has some good basketball history. I think at least one Final Four and been really good in football. But all pre-Big Ten, and they just made a lot of mistakes, both in their hires and the players making mistakes off the field. It just really put them down in both sports. But it wasn't going to go on forever, and there's too much talent in that area. And they've got a defensive-minded coach, and they're just, you know, slowly but surely regaining the prominence that they once had and finally starting to become competitive. And, you know, that makes them extra tough because they've got an edge to them. They've gone through so many tough times.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. And, Mike, generally, it doesn't matter if it's a better Rutgers team or a traditionally strong team in the conference. The Big Ten is noted, and really college basketball, it's recognized across the board, that road wins are extremely tough to come by. This week, not just the Rutgers game, but both games this week for the Indiana team pose opportunities for Indiana to show that they have taken some steps forward, that maybe Devontae Green, some of the lessons learned last week and some of the bench time there has proven to pay off or will pay off in some road opportunities this week. I really see this as a very interesting week for this team, given that they're going to be on the road and given, obviously, that one of the games comes against an opponent like a Rutgers.
Yeah, they're both winnable road games, you would have thought, at least at the beginning of the season, looking at it. You thought, well, these are the games that they got to win if they want to have a winning record in the Big Ten. You know, the previous road games we just talked about have been so uncompetitive. And these teams that are a little bit better than we expected, Rutgers, obviously, and Nebraska has actually started to play pretty well and took IU to overtime there the weekend game. So, but you got to find a way to win on the road. Rutgers is without their second leading scorer. Indiana's starting to play better. I think the biggest key for this team is, do they get good guard play? And then the odds have gone up moving forward. Now that Robert Finney's starting to round into form, and Devontae Green's maybe got a little bit back of that edge that he had earlier in the year.
Let's talk about Rob Finney, Mike. Obviously, he started the game for the first time this season against Ohio State on Saturday. Not only did he start, but he really got things off with a great start. He hit some three-point shots, was very active in the Indiana offense. Is that, in your mind, a turning point for Rob Phinisee? Because we've all said on this show many times, you've discussed it on the Pigs.com site many times, when are we going to see the Rob Phinisee that we thought would be back for a very good year two at Indiana after all the experience he got as a freshman a year ago? Was Saturday a turning point to maybe seeing not only more opportunities for him, but maybe that Rob that we all thought would be out there handling the ball, running the point for IU this season?
I think so, as long as he stays healthy. He's had a lot of practice now underneath him. Since several weeks that he's been able to finally play basketball. And I think it was just a matter of time. It's not a situation like Jerome Hunter where he's missed a whole year and that's going to screw with your instincts and your ability to figure out what's a good shot, what's a bad shot in a moment, in a split second. I think Rob should be fine. I think moving forward, he's not like he, was very consistent last year. He had some big games. He can get better than that. And he's improved his outside shot. I think we saw that a little bit. And that's such a key to this team, is just hitting a couple threes to keep the defense honest, because the strength is obviously going inside and getting fouled. And, he's been through the wars. He's been through some big games. So I would think that he would, he will still have some off games, but by the time we get to February, should be really back to normal, but he should have some good games move even the rest of this month now.
Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is my guest. Mike is always with us on Tuesdays. I want to cover a couple other things with you, Mike, jump around here just a little bit. In the last segment with Greg Doyle, we were talking about IU football after discussing the national championship game last night, and I mentioned that I actually saw Indiana. Now, they were, I think, 300-1 odds, but on the list, at least, as a bettable futures winner for the national championship next year. And I know that, obviously, that season is a long way away, but there is some excitement about IU football brewing, even at this very early point coming out of the Gator Bowl appearance. And one topic that I haven't really broached on the show so far is that Indiana did make a decision with a new offensive coordinator that has now been made official.
Yeah, Nick Sheridan has been with the program for a couple years and comes from a real football pedigree through all his family. Dad's been a defensive coordinator at Boston College, and so he's growing up with football. Younger guy, but he's worked with IU quarterbacks for a bit and kind of knows the system and has been able to build the confidence of Tom Allen and other people within the program. So that was interesting in that they didn't go outside for such a high-profile position. But Nick, like I said, has built the confidence of the staff. But next year I think really, Matt, that this could be a really good team if Michael Penix comes back healthy, because he's just a talented guy. I think an NFL future is possible for him if he bulks up a little bit and can stay on the field. And then you get the bulk of the team back, a couple offensive linemen and couple key receivers, but there's depth there, and the bulk of the defense is back. So there's really a chance for this team to be more talented. Whether they win 8 games again or be on the cusp of winning 9 like they were, I'm not sure, but it should be a more talented group. And schedule will be tougher. They open it up at Wisconsin and play some of the better West teams versus the schedule they had this year. But there's a chance to be really a notch above what they were this year.
Yeah, exciting offseason for IU football to follow their recruiting and, of course, gear up for next year. And it could be a good one for Indiana on the football field. Mike, also IU women's basketball. It seems to be an uptick in people interested in the Lady Hoosiers this year, and I know they slipped up over the weekend with a loss, but they are number 15 in the country, I think, in the latest poll that came out, and they are really one of the teams to beat in the Big Ten Conference. They have had a tremendous year, and that program, you look at a program that's been building now for a number of seasons. You can look back each year, whether it's recruiting, whether it's on the court success, and see major steps each season that have been made forward. And so far this year, at least through this point, some additional big steps made in conference play for this IU women's basketball team also.
Yeah, they were the first Big Ten team. I mean, they're the last Big Ten team to lose a game. You know, up to they were on the cusp of a top 10 ranking, and I think Iowa has a super long winning streak at home, and they took that game to, you know, extra periods and just fell a little bit short. Otherwise, they probably would be ranked in the top 10 right now. They have a lot of things that they didn't have last year. They have some more size. They dealt with got some good freshmen with some size this year that are helping them. And Grace Berger's really come on as a sophomore and just become an unexpected big scorer for them. And they have a reliable point guard in Allie Papberg and some veterans. And they just, you know, they're really proven and wise in plan. And just really a nice team. So if you have time, and this is a well-schooled team that plays really hard and it's fun to watch. So, you know, get a chance to watch these ladies play because they're outstanding.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, here on this Tuesday program. A couple basketball recruiting questions to close things out today, Mike. I saw that Evansville Rights' Christian Lander received a scholarship offer from Coach Capel and Pittsburgh here this week. Seeing another offer come in for him kind of makes me wonder, is he still in the process of receiving offers and kind of taking all newcomers a new interest, or do you feel like he could be soon to a point where maybe he starts to pare that list down and perhaps where the Hoosiers would fall when he does begin cutting his list?
I think the drama with Christian and recruiting is, does a school like North Carolina make a hard run at him, or, you know, an elite school? Kansas has already shown interest. Because right now it's starting to look like a Louisville, Indiana, Michigan kind of outlook for him. I had a chance to watch him play on Friday night, and he's showed me a lot by hitting 5 or 6 threes in the first half. He's more than just a point guard. He can shoot the ball a lot better than he has, and that's only going to increase the interest. And he's already, you know, of course, a top 15 consensus recruit. So I think we'll see what happens in April and, you know, see if the big boys really try to make a strong run for them, or they just feel like the local schools are kind of handle on them.
And in the state, as far as the 2020 class goes, the senior class, Greg and I were talking about this in the last segment as well. Coming into the year, it was Leal or Galloway. One of those guys was going to be the Mr. Basketball candidate, or going to win the Mr. Basketball award. Both of them obviously candidates for the award. Galloway missed some time with a wrist injury. Leal's had a solid year. Bloomington South is doing very well. But Nigel Pack and also Davis, DeAndre Davis and Lawrence Central have had a good year to date as well. Where do you handicap or see the Mr. Basketball race at right now, and how sure of a thing is it still that Leal or Galloway and IU has another Mr. Basketball winner at the end of this year?
I don't think it's very sure at all. I mean, I haven't given it a lot of thought, but I just, you know, it's sort of being hurled a little bit, and I think the fortunes of the team and the tournament will go a long way, but there's just a lot of good players. Nigel Pack's an outstanding player, and Lawrence Central, you know, along with Lawrence North, right now those two, you know, better rivals look to be a step above everyone, except maybe Bloomington South. And, you know, there's a good argument that, you know, go with the best player and the best team. And I need to see more of that Lawrence Central team, but they may hurt each other that they're both on the same team. I'm talking about Davis and Pack. But these are kids who proved themselves in the EYBL circuit last year, and they're proving themselves in high school again by leading their team to the top of the rankings. And anybody, it's a really hard Mr. Basketball to handicap right now. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, as always, thanks for talking IU basketball, recruiting, IU football with us as well. Always fun to catch up and appreciate your insight.
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thank you. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we're back on Wednesday, the live show at 11 o'clock, the replay at 3 p.m., and with us on Wednesday, as always, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll get ready for IU Rutgers tomorrow as well. He joins us in the program. And then later on, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins us. Lots of local stuff to talk about, lots of high school basketball stuff to talk about. We'll do that with Craig when he joins us as well. That's going to wrap things up for today. Back with you tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Don't forget, if you miss a show and you can't catch us here live streaming or on the Big X or the replay at 3, you can find us on SoundCloud. You can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can find us in the SoundCloud app. It's a free download to your phone. You can also find us in Apple Podcast as well. And when you're on Apple Podcast, leave us a rating and a review if you would. It'll help us reach others that might be interested into a show on IU athletics and, of course, sports here in Southern Indiana. That'll do it for today. Back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.